Welcome to the Relax, It's Retirement podcast with Josh Leonard from Leonard Advisory Group. In this podcast, we help those nearing retirement greet it with a well-prepared smile. Join Josh and his guests to learn the retirement and tax planning tips you need so you too can live your golden years with the happiness and excitement you deserve. Hear stories from his years of experience to help you transition into a fun and intentional retirement. Now, onto the show.
Hello and welcome to the Relax, It's Retirement podcast with your host, Josh Leonard, where we talk about transitioning into retirement with intent. I'm Wendy McConnell. So, Josh, the weather is better, I'm hearing.
It is. You know, 2 weeks have passed since we last worked on this financial literacy podcast. And I have to say the weather just keeps getting better. So,
well, that is a plus. That is a plus. So we have Josh, of course, and we have the recurring person here, Pete. Recurring guest, recurring co-host.
I'm going to move it up to regular guest.
Okay. Regular guest, yes. Moving up in the world, Wendy.
Yeah. You made it, Pete. Congratulations. I'm so excited for you.
Oh, thank you very much. And yeah, I did learn that the sun at this time of the year is the same angle as it is in late August. So, you know, we experienced a little sunburn this weekend, so we'll take it, you know, we'll take it though. Better than the rain clouds.
Hey, you got to use that sunblock, you know, sun protection, sun safety.
That's right. You know,
that's it, Wendy. We had our shred day that we host in our Pittsburgh office parking lot once a year. We just had it this past weekend and everyone got unexpectedly sunburned.
Yeah. Well, if it's sunny out, it's gonna color your skin. So I thought maybe you guys would know that by now, but you know, whatever.
Hey, it was pouring down rain when we set up Wendy. So.
it was raining at the beginning, but I think that's what we're here. You got to plan for all weather factors, you know, and I think that's what we get into when we do you know, retirement planning. And, you know, if you don't plan properly, it tends to burn a little bit sometimes. So,
I like that. Pete, perfect transition. See,
absolutely.
Wendy, this is why he is now a regular guest. You
That's
see,
right.
I do. I understand completely. So, what are we talking about, guys?
Yeah. So last time on part one, we talked through some income and budgeting. We talked through healthcare and investments. Different ways to save there. Went on a bit of a tangent with credit card fees. You know, that extra 3%. So jumping back in, we got two more sections to cover in our financial literacy for your golden years. So we really want to make sure that listeners have some good framework of things that they need to be considering and thinking through regularly. So picking it back up, we're going to talk about government benefits and tax planning. Aren't you excited, Wendy?
Oh, yes.
That was worth the cliffhanger, right?
Oh, right? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
My favorite. All right, let's get into it.
So first up, if you have an IRA, a 401k, a qualified retirement account, you are going to be subject to RMDs, required minimum distributions, or another way to look at it, a forced distribution. So in those retirement accounts, your whole working life, you're told, put that money away, save, don't touch it unless you have to. So it's there for retirement. And depending on when you were born, if you haven't started taking them yet, most likely age 73, but it could slide up till age 75, depending on when you were born. These RMDs, or forced distributions, are just that. It's an amount of money that you have to take out each and every year, required by the government. Now, you don't have to spend the money, but you do have to pay your taxes on it.
You got it. The government wants their money.
Yeah, so that's it. And you know, they start out relatively small, about 3.77%. And the IRS has a whole table that is meant to link up with life expectancy, right? So the goal is not that you're taking all the money out and running out of money. But rather, it's based on life expectancy. Hey, based on your age now, if you withdraw this amount, your funds should last. But we want you to start withdrawing and paying taxes on that money.
Yeah, I guess even though required minimum distributions are designed to outlive you, you know, they're never going to go. If you just take the RMDs, you will always end up with something in your qualified accounts there. So it's, you know, they want to, the government wants their money. They want to get paid on the taxes on there, you know, but while it is your IRAs, those RMDs are designed not to, you know, totally extinguish the account.
Yeah. I mean, even at the ripe old age of 114, you only have to take out a third of the account a year. So, you know, we'll see how long you live, but yeah, it's not designed to liquidate the account at once. But in terms of planning, maybe if you have a strong pension and Social Security, and that's covering most of your monthly income, we want to factor in those RMDs. And if you're younger than your required minimum distribution age, maybe we should start taking some of that money out now to help manage your tax brackets over time. A lot of folks are used to, you know, as I said before, deferring that. So putting the money in, forgetting about it, and waiting. But many times it makes sense to start distributing that a little bit before it's required. That way we can help manage tax brackets.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen with taxes in the future. A lot of people guess it's going to, you know, you're not going to pay less, I think is the general consensus. And, you know, so whenever you have the opportunity to do a little bit of planning as far as taking, you know, maybe taking money out and, you know, recharacterizing it, paying taxes on that. You know, we have different strategies that we put into place, whether reinvesting that money, you know, whether that's going to satisfy, you know, hey, maybe it's time to put that roof on, or maybe upgrade vehicles before things start breaking, or you know, or put it away for you know, like a Roth option. So something that you don't get a tax benefit up front, but the tax benefit comes whenever those things grow tax deferred, and then you go and withdraw them tax free.
Yeah, so we want to make sure that we have an appropriate map for that. I think one of the other factors that we've been talking to clients a lot more about is when your kids inherit those accounts, they have to take it out over the next 10 years as well. So it might make sense to be spending down those qualified monies, your IRAs, a little bit quicker, because you might be in a lower tax bracket than your kids are with whatever, you know, roughly a tenth of that account value is stacked on top of it. You know, for many times when, you know, parents pass away, kids are in their prime earning years, right? They're later on in their career, they're earning good money. So now if they have more taxable income on top of that, while more money is always good, you know, you might be paying at a higher tax rate than if you took out some of that money or recharacterized it into a Roth IRA, like Pete mentioned.
Yep. Hey, we know we're going to pay taxes, and you know, we are going to pay, you know, we're going to pay everything that's owed, but we try and make sure that we don't have to pay one penny more than that. And, yep. And that's a good strategy to, you know, you start thinking that, hey, this money's going to be for my kids. They're doing well right now. They're in their higher earning, you know, years. So let's decrease that a little bit. And, you know, and if you do recharacterize that into a Roth, you know, that is one of the best assets to inherit. There still are requirements, like Josh said, about withdrawing beneficiary IRAs, whether it's a Roth or traditional, within the 10-year time frame. One, you pay taxes on ordinary income. The other, you don't pay taxes on.
So. I'll take two of the one that I don't pay taxes on,
Peter. There you go. Yeah.
But, you know, another common thing that we talk about, you know, whether it makes sense to defer or start earlier, is Social Security benefits. You know, I think for many folks, they look at, hey, I can retire when I take Social Security. But those two things don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. You can retire and defer Social Security. Or maybe if you're not earning a lot, maybe it makes sense to even take Social Security earlier.
Yeah, that's you know, I think once we start digging into Social Security, a lot of people don't understand that there are a lot of factors that go into play here. It's not just black and white. It's not just, hey, you got to this stage in life and here you go. You know, it's, you know, Social Security is based off of, you know, a lot of different factors. But, you know, mainly, you know, it's based off of your age. So, you know, you can't take it till you're 62. You know, at this point, you know, they're changing these. Sometimes they change these rules. So a normal retirement age, it is, you know, creeping up. So before, you know, used to be 65, and we see it moving up to 66. I think, you know, 67 even. So that just means that that's whenever your benefits are going to max out. That's your normal retirement age. And then if you take it before that or after that, you're either going to take less than your maximum benefit or you're going to get a little bit more. So if you do have the option to delay benefits, so let's just say, you know, if you took Social Security, you're going to pay, you know, maybe it increases your taxes or maybe you're still working or you have enough from either one of your spouses and you can delay that. You can wait till 70, till you're age 70 to take Social Security. After that, there's no benefit to waiting. So from 62 to 70, your Social Security is going to increase. And in between there, you know, usually, like I said, around 66 is going to be your normal retirement age. So there's a strategy to waiting, you know, to take those benefits, you know, so the longer you wait, the more you'll get.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's it. After your full retirement age, you can continue to work and not have an earnings cap where you start paying back your benefits. Prior to that, we have to be careful. If we earn too much, we might be paying back a portion of our benefits. So we certainly want to be careful there. Anything prior to that full retirement age, we can't earn more than $22,320 this year before we start paying back a portion of our benefits. So maybe if you're working and you're age 64, thinking about taking Social Security because you're not sure how long you're going to live, maybe it doesn't make sense unless you're earning less than that $22,000.
Does that mean you just lose that money?
You start paying back into your benefits, and Social Security does have a calculation to offset that with your total benefits. It's not worth going into. I think the best advice is if you're going to earn more than the earnings limit, don't take it for now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are, so that's one thing. Just, you know, if you wait to take Social Security, it does increase by that 8% a year. But another reason that, you know, you might want to wait to take Social Security is it's calculated by the highest earning years that we have. So it's the 35 of the highest earning years of our working career. So let's just say that, you know, you start digging into your actual benefits and you find out that, you know what, one of these 35 years that they're taking is, you know, maybe, you know, some income that I had when I first started working. And if I work another year, that lower earning year is going to be replaced with a higher earning year. So sometimes we see benefits get compounded that way as well. So a lot of people know if I wait, I'll get more. But, you know, a lot of time we don't consider that, hey, if I'm earning significantly more now and I work for another year, that can have a compounding effect as well on Social Security.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you think 35 years ago, if you're nearing retirement, you definitely weren't earning as much money in 99% of cases. So that extra year can kind of have a multiplying effect there. Pete, you know, we just rounded up a week of in-person meetings in our Pittsburgh office with a whole bunch of clients. We call it our surge week, where we try to meet with some of our most active clients, where we do some of the most detailed planning. And one of the things we did to recap was take the tax returns from last year and plug them into some of our planning software and reflect on that with clients. Hey, maybe we could have done a little bit more to realize some capital gains or spend a little bit more out of your IRA. And then set the tone for this year, too. Since we're still early in the year, there's a lot of things we can do there. Pete, did you have any big takeaways from that in walking through with clients?
Absolutely. I mean, that, you know, whenever you do, you know, take that step back and you do that planning to either maximize your tax bracket or you are looking at you know at different options, and now all of a sudden you have you know other places to access money whenever you're retired. So you know you have somebody that originally was maybe you know considering on going on you know maybe a week long trip, and you present different options that now maybe they can go on a you know month long you know trip without having to you know either extend themselves or get bumped into another tax bracket where they're giving more money to the government. You know, it can be pretty positive, pretty powerful, you know, especially whenever you are on a fixed income in retirement.
Yeah, I think that's it. Kind of the leveling out of, hey, we want to take this once-in-a-lifetime trip to Italy, right? And we need to take $10,000 out. How can we do it? Well, if we take a combination of realizing some capital gains and a little bit out of the IRA, we can actually stay in a 12% tax bracket where the tax impact is pretty minimal. That's some pretty powerful planning.
Absolutely. On fixed income, there's there's only a few things we can control. So this is definitely one of those things. And like we talked about before, if you want to go on that trip this year, you can't make that decision this year as far as putting money into a Roth. That has to have been done previously. It has to have been part of your planning. So like, I think it's a recurring theme that, if you can't wait to plan, it only works if you do it ahead of time.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. Well, Pete, I'm going to use that to pivot into something else that's also exciting, and that is legal preparedness. Everyone likes to, read documents prepared by lawyers. That's very exciting. And we view that mostly as estate planning. And, we also wanted to talk a little bit about lifestyle changes. But with estate planning, many times people get caught up in, like, should I put all my money in a trust? Should I put my house in a trust? I think some of the biggest mistakes that we see are just, like, updating beneficiaries, right? Like, you never put your kids on an account, only your spouse. Maybe you got divorced, and maybe you never took your ex off of your 401k that at the time wasn't very large, and now it's gigantic. You certainly don't want to pass away and skip over your current spouse, that's for sure.
That's right. This stuff is a little uncomfortable because we're talking about you dying, we're talking about this end of life stuff. So it's oftentimes it can be, easily dismissed because you're not going to have to worry about it. Right. So, we do see that when that happens, your beneficiaries are probably going to get less. That's the bottom line. If you want to avoid that planning, if you want to avoid those uncomfortable conversations with yourself, just accepting your own mortality or whatever you want to say there. It's a big move. Or yeah, I don't want to, I just went through, whatever separation, and now you have to talk about these beneficiaries, and maybe you have a split family and it can be uncomfortable. But once you do get those things in place, we see a great deal of relief from clients.
Yeah, I think to take a step back too, one of the major advantages of listing a beneficiary on an account is it's clear who it's intended to go to. You avoid probate or, a judge having to decide where it was intended for your funds to go. For any of your retirement accounts or investment accounts, it's as simple as filling out a piece of paper. You don't have to go meet with an attorney and spend thousands of dollars. This is low-hanging fruit. For most folks, if you log into the account online, you can even update it there. So not even paperwork necessary. And you can change it at any time. So it's not like a be-all end decision either. If you decide you don't like the one kid 3 months later, you can, just take them off of your account. And then if you like them again, you can put it back on. So, I would say looking at those beneficiaries, reviewing occasionally is very helpful to do. You can also be strategic about it as well. We were talking with one client last week, and they wanted to make sure that they're now they're remarried. So they wanted to make sure that their husband is getting a portion of the assets, but they each have their own kids as well. So she wants to make sure that a portion of her retirement funds go direct to her kids as well. Because the reality is, if she predeceased the new spouse and left him as the primary beneficiary, he'd get all the money, and it would be up to him if he decided if any portion of that subsequently goes to her kids. So talking through that, okay, this is pretty easy. I'm going to designate this portion to go to my kids and this to go to my spouse.
It's still some pretty high-level beneficiary and estate planning, but it can be solved by just updating your beneficiaries or even account titling.
Absolutely. And if you say, hey, one kid, we want to get the house, and the other one, we want to offset the value of the house there. Well, that's easy enough to do too, right? We can update percentages as the account balances change over time. If you have younger beneficiaries, maybe giving them assets like Roth IRAs or investment accounts are more beneficial than your IRA because they won't need to be distributing that money, hopefully, when you pass away. Instead, they'll want to continue to defer and save that money. So avoiding those IRA rules that we just talked about with RMDs and that stuff as well is going to be quite beneficial to them.
Absolutely. Sometimes it isn't that simple, though, you know. Sometimes there are other factors that you, life sometimes isn't that clean. So you need to maybe plan for things that you know are going to be issues after you pass away.
Yeah, I think sometimes we meet with clients and there's clear challenges for children, whether that's drug addiction or they're just not good with money. In that case, it might be good to then go to the attorney and set up a trust to put rules around those funds to make sure that they're not spent inappropriately or fueling bad habits.
Absolutely. That's, you have all this control. And like we said, it's really easy to make those beneficiaries and those changes, especially when we're alive and we're actively a part of that, what happens if you need to help out those beneficiaries after you do pass away? And that's whenever we do utilize, like Josh said, we go to an attorney, we talk to, people about utilizing trusts.
Yep. Yeah. And I think you probably should still meet with an attorney and do a basic will, your power of attorney, any medical directives. So if you are unable to make decisions, someone can help make them for you. And again, it's similar to a beneficiary. You can choose one of your children to take care of the financial stuff for you and maybe another child to take care of the medical stuff for you if you're fortunate to have multiple children. But giving that direction helps ease a lot of burden for them in a challenging time as well.
Absolutely.
I think the last thing we wanted to cover in this one was just talking about like relocating, downsizing. We get a lot of questions around this, but Pete, what are some challenges or some things to consider if you're thinking about relocating, maybe upsizing, downsizing, left sizing, right sizing?
That's right. It's definitely something that here in Pittsburgh we deal with a lot because you're either on the high side of the hill or you're on the low side of the hill. So no matter what, it seems like we're dealing with steps. And, mobility and especially whenever you get into retirement, it starts to become a greater concern or issue. I think we all know we'd like to stay in our homes as long as possible, and there's great benefits to that, especially when there is two of you. But oftentimes, our houses are a little bit more than what we need. So we start to talk about people. They say we're going to downsize in retirement. We're going to go get our retirement house. And you start looking at, obviously what comes to mind is those ranch houses, no steps, apartments, looking at upkeep and things like that. The first thing that we do, we try and let people know is that, usually when you downsize, let's just say you sell your house for $500,000, you're not going to go into a $100,000 apartment. You're probably going to go into a $500,000 apartment. The cost of living as far as the price of the house is really, it's really comparable, even though one's going to be for retirement. So a lot of the changes we do is people are getting is something that you don't have to keep up with their houses, that you don't have to do any maintenance. So, whether it's the house itself that's covered, or maybe it's the outside of the house, the landscaping, snow removal, those type of things, you're not worrying about those. They're all included now with the price of your house. Typically they are going to be smaller. So even though it is going to be maybe a little bit nicer place, we do usually see some savings within the heating and cooling because it is a physically smaller place, even though it might have cost as much.
Yeah. And it could be a newer place too, Pete, where it's maybe newer construction. Maybe the windows are a little bit newer. The method of building is a little bit more efficient for heating and cooling systems as well.
Yeah, or maybe you move. Maybe your dream is to be in a different state or move. You know, whether it's closer to kids or closer to the sun. You know, whatever that case may be. You know, that's an important part of planning, because different states, they do have different rules, especially whenever it comes to you know, retirement accounts, these qualified accounts we were talking about.
Yeah, I think that's one that I know quite personally, and we've talked about on the podcast before. For my parents, when they retired, they moved to Ohio, and Ohio is now their primary state of residence. Well, the state of PA does not tax your withdrawals from retirement accounts, but Ohio does. PA takes it on the way in. You still pay taxes on putting that money in. So that's not the most efficient thing for my parents to be doing. However, they see some other benefits, so don't, you know, only make decisions on financial things. But, you know, proper planning around that for them saying, hey, we want to be here. One of the things they can do is contribute to my kids' college planning. So that's a state tax deduction. Do those 529 contributions. If you're listening, Grandma Cindy and Grandpa Billio, you know.
I don't know how many times he has suddenly brought this up in the podcast. Gotta be like, you know, almost all of the episodes.
Yeah, it's like a 30% rate of. Yeah. But it is something that my parents do. They've been very good. You know, our kids, you know, as most young kids are now, have plenty of plastic toys, right? Although they always seek more, you know, putting a little bit of money aside there for their education over the long term is certainly beneficial. And like for my parents, it benefits them. If you're looking at moving to a new state, though, it is important to understand the tax differences as well. Maybe it's even just property taxes. Maybe your property taxes are significantly higher than the state you currently reside in. Let's be aware of that as a cost of living that we have. Many folks buy two houses, so maybe they'll have a house in Florida and still keep their house in Pittsburgh. So let's balance out the pros and cons of spending one extra day one place versus the other as well.
Yeah, people just pay attention to that federal taxes, and you know, that's a big piece that is often overlooked. You know, whenever somebody does think about moving it to, you know, they dig into maybe where they're going to move, the size of the house, they got real estate agents, and then they don't think about the back end side of you know, where they're going to get their income from. You know, so yeah. The people that do plan for that, you know, it's like Josh mentioned, it's maybe it's not the most efficient, but when it's part of your plan, it's known, it's accounted for, and it's covered.
Yeah, I think that's it. In this you know, financial literacy two-part series that we've done here, we covered so much stuff like income, budgeting, credit card fees, healthcare and investments, you know, talking about HSAs, long-term care planning, Medicare planning. You know, today we talked about our government plans, our government benefits, tax planning, you know, all this estate planning stuff, and then lifestyle changes. I don't know about you, Pete, but I think it's just beneficial to have someone else to bounce ideas off of.
That's it. You know, if you're out there by yourself and you're trying to navigate, you know, everything on your own, it can get pretty stressful. It's hard to cover all your bases. And, you know, just being, you know, just staying informed, staying on top of your financial matters, you know, having a trusted, you know, relationship with somebody that you can bounce ideas off of, or just knowing that somebody else is, you know, looking at these ever-changing roles. So whenever something does come up that impacts you, at least it's being brought to your attention, you know, it's a great benefit.
Yeah, certainly so. And you know, being that second set of eyes is something that we take quite seriously. Last week we had a review with a client where they're talking about purchasing into a transitional facility in Maine, where they buy their initial condo, then it turns into an apartment, and the level of care adjusts as they need it in retirement. And part of that was running through some projections that they had prepared to compare with ours and going back and forth. And the client even told me at the end, like, I just want to make sure that I'm on the right path here, right? Something can always derail us, but looking at several factors, factoring it into a plan, at least sets a good baseline to know what to watch out for in the future. For any of you listeners on today, we provide a ton of content on our YouTube channel as well. So make sure to check that out. It'll be linked in the show notes. If you're interested in discussing some of the challenges that you have in your financial plan, there'll also be a link to schedule a 15-minute call with one of our team members where we can talk about those challenges and how we might be able to help. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe so you're notified of our upcoming podcast. Until next time, thanks for joining.
Thank you for listening to the Relax, It's Retirement podcast, the show that helps you transition into a happy, fun, and intentional retirement. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Visit our website at www.leonardadvisorygroup.com or give us a call at 412-998-PLAN. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Leonard Advisory Group, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service professionals with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.